You guys, I think I'll get right into the word. Now listen, we have a little something for you tonight, brother. They've all got them, okay. So open up your binder. I got your little folder today. And I want you to keep it with you. And I know how the saints are. Sometimes we leave them at church. Don't leave them. Take them home with you. Remember, we're talking about discipleship. And we were going along with a book, and we'll go back and forth with that. But tonight, I just wanted you to have some things to take home with you, because I don't like to hear it when people say, you know, so-and-so asked me what I believe, and I didn't have a good answer. Well, you know what? We are going to go back here. And you notice the first page, and I'll ask you to put it in your little holder there when you get home and tidy it up there. Put it in the, what do you call them, the little holders. But let's first look at this. This we believe real quick. This you would find everywhere. We used to put it in the bulletin. We'd have it on our website. But number one, I want you to know, and I'm going to go quickly through these. If you have a highlighter or a pen, you might underline the important things of each one. Number one, and I was talking to Michelle about this today, is we believe in the Bible, both Old and New Testaments. Today, a lot of people, a lot of preachers, I'm telling you, good preachers are talking on TBN, Daystar, all about just staying in the New Testament. But if you have not read the Old Testament through, I mean, you've got Jesus stitched all the way through that. You've got the blood stitched all the way through. You've got the cross. You've got everything going through. But read that Old Testament and move through, because both of them are inspired by the infallible Word of God. So underline, we believe both Old and New Testament. That's what we believe. Not just one or the other, but both. And I'll let you look that scripture up. Number two, look at this. We believe in God, one God, underline one God, and then underline three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus was being baptized? Jesus himself, the Son of God, was being baptized. The voice of the Father was heard that said, "That's my Son in whom I am pleased." And then the Holy Spirit came on him in the form of a dove. You have three distinct characters right there, three distinct persons. And we could go on that, and you could read how God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. How God, number one, anointed Jesus of Nazareth, number two, with the Holy Ghost. Number three, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Now, as you go into the book of John, you just see over and over and over that Jesus says, "My Father has sent me. My Father has sent me. My Father has sent me." And he talks about to the disciples, "Now you go wait in the upper room." Why? For the promise of the Father. You wait, Jesus speaking, you wait for the promise of the Father. And what was the promise of the Father? The gift of the Holy Spirit who was coming to fill them. All right, so we'll go on to number three. We believe in the virgin birth, okay? I think most people, unless you're, you know, one of the occults, believe in the virgin birth. So underline the virgin birth. And then go on down in that same sentence. The atoning death of the cross, the bodily resurrection, underline it. And the ascension to where? Ascension means he went up. He went up. Descension means come down. He descended. He's going to come down. He's going to descend one day. But then he ascended. He went up to the right hand of the Father. All right. Number four, we believe in salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just underline salvation through the blood. Number five, we believe in baptism in water. Okay, how? This is really detailed. Oh, we believe in water baptism by immersion. That the believer should be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we believe that they go totally under the water because that's what Jesus was taken under the water. It's a signature of Jesus' death in the water, his burial, and his resurrection. Okay? So that's why we're baptized in water, immersed in water. Number six, we believe in communion. In fact, this Sunday, won't it be, Brother Danny, that we have communion this last Sunday of the month? So number six, underline communion. And then down the last part of the sentence, you'll say, we believe that all believers should be partakers of the Lord's Supper. That was instituted by Jesus himself. Number seven, we believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. So underline the power of the Holy Spirit. You can underline evidence of speaking in tongues. Number eight, we believe in the sanctifying, look at this, this is real powerful. And the old timers used to hit on this a lot more than we latecomers that come along do. Number eight, we believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. Look at this, which enables a believer to live a holy life. But what have we done? We've gotten hung up on speaking in tongues. Oh, we got filled with the Spirit and then we moved on. Forget about it. No. He said the reason you got filled with the Holy Spirit is so he can enable you to live a holy life. That's called sanctification or sanctifying power. Hallelujah. Number nine, we believe in divine healing. Okay. By the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross, underline healing. Divine healing, underline divine healing. Number 10, of course we believe in the bodily resurrection of the saved and the lost. They that are saved into the resurrection of life, and they that are lost into the resurrection of damnation. We'll all be resurrected, but we'll all go different directions. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus, then you'll be resurrected into eternal life. If not, it will be damnation, and that won't happen until the great white throne. But that's another subject. And we'll get into all these things. Number 11, so underlying that bodily resurrection of the saved and lost. Number 11, we believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those are wonderful scriptures. Okay, so that's what we believe in a nutshell. Now here, notice, it didn't mention the sanctity of life, didn't get into a lot of those things. It didn't say anything about we believe in marriage between one man and one woman. We believe that we were created male and female. So those are other things that we teach and believe. But again, we'll get into all of that in the next few weeks or months. But right now, I just wanted us to go back to here because we do have a lot of newcomers, and maybe this is just a little refreshing course for us that's been around a long time and been saved. It's just good to have this. Now, you know, I keep refreshing you with this over and over, and if I ask you what was Landmark's four basic doctrines that we believe in, what would you tell me real quickly? Number one, what's one of the doctrines of our church? What's that? Uh-huh. Yes, that is a part of the doctrine. Verses, stand up, tell us those. You know those, the four. Salvation, who knows it? Salvation by the blood of Jesus. All right, well, let's rehearse these. I'm glad we're rehearsing this right now. It looks like we need it. All right, so we believe in, yes, salvation by the blood of Jesus, number one. So when we got saved, how did we do that? I'll tell you how we got saved. All of a sudden, you started feeling, whether you were in a church service or a hospital bed or a police car or wherever you were, you begin to feel conviction in your heart that something was wrong with you. This isn't right. And when that conviction came, you fell on your knees or you just started weeping and you started repenting of your sins. Lord, I repent. I am so sorry. Man, if we could have some testimonies here tonight, BJ, I'm still going to have you bring testimony one of these nights. All of us, man, we've got testimonies of when we got saved. So, and then what did we do? We got saved. We repented of our sins. We received him as Lord. He came into our heart. And I want you to look at that number one there, salvation. Now, you know, the Jewish people, one of the names of Jesus, or one of the names of God in the Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua. And here Christ is in the New Testament, but we're pulling up some of those same words in the Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. And Jesus spoke in Aramaic. But look at this. Salvation means to be saved or something saved. That's on your notes. Number one, Yeshua. Something saved or to be saved. To be delivered. To have health. And that's divine health. Divine means from heaven. It means from the deity. Divine health. And that means to be helped. You got help. When the Lord knows we needed help. And then we got aid. Man, it was like Band-Aid, a shot. Whatever it was you had need of, we got that aid. And then we got victory over something. That repentance that we need to repent for. And it's funny how, it's so funny the way conviction works. Conviction begins to just rise up in you. And no preacher had to tell you. No evangelist had to tell you. Now, sometimes that happens. Many people are in the church when they get convicted, or they can be sitting in their living room. I heard a testimony on TV the other day of a lady that was ready to take her life. Just, I mean, ready. And this evangelist on TV just said, "You're getting ready to take your life, lady, and God has something for you. Don't do that. Stop right there where you are and receive Jesus." She just broke out into tears and received him as her Lord. So she got the victory. Listen, she got victory over suicide. I mean, at the old church, I've seen, you have too, those of you that have been in it a long time, and you may have been one of them. You run down here to the altar, or the pastors, you know, the old saints, they used to just go back and get them if they knew they were playing in sin or out in the world. They just go get them and bring them up to the front and get them to the altar. And they would come down there totally wiped out, drunk, and you could smell them a mile away. You were praying for them, you could smell them. And they would repent. They'd receive Jesus as Lord and then get up totally free. I mean, free. It was the funniest thing. No smell. They didn't smell like it. They didn't walk wobbly. They were totally free. How did they do that? They got victory. And then it says saving health, mental health. You know, I told Miss Gwen the other day, when Gwen came in from Oregon, she and Rusty moved here, and I remember the first or second time I met her, she was dealing with anxiety. And I mean, it was serious anxiety. And so we met two or three times. I wasn't very long, but they were long meetings. And you know what? He totally delivered her. Not to deal with it again. Total delivery from anxiety. What happened? She got Yeshua. She got victory over that thing. Total victory. And it says to have welfare. That means something that you have need of. We know what physical welfare is. People get assistance from the county and receive a check. Then it says you receive here. When you receive Yeshua, you get a spiritual check, which sometimes is literally can be a physical check. You know, with prosperity and blessing and emotional healing and everything that we would have need of. That's when we had our need for a Savior, we got all that wrapped up into one. So please don't lose this. Make sure you get this in your notebook so that you'll be able to tell someone. Salvation is a huge package. If you're going for a new job, one of the first questions they ask is, do I get a package? What's in my package? And this, believe me, this right here is a package deal. We're just hitting it lightly tonight. But as we read earlier, this we believe. Number one, we believe in salvation by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And by the cross. He shed his blood at the cross. A1 is the cross experience. Let's go over to Galatians. We'll look at that. I know we're going to pray. I'm just going to touch these and let you look at these at home. Galatians 6. Look at verse 12. It's still written a little bit hard to comprehend. And if you think this is hard, it's a little worse in the Old King James. But let's read here at Galatians 6:12, because we believe in salvation by the blood of Jesus at the cross. 6:12. As many... Oh, first I want to read verse 11. Look at this. See with what large letters I have written to you in my own hand. Paul usually had a stenographer that would take notes for him and write his letters. But he said, I wrote this. Notice how big the letters are because he could hardly see. And he said, notice how large these letters are. I wrote them to you with my own handwriting. Verse 12. Now, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. Now, he's talking about the Jewish religious people. Now, they want to make a good show. So they tell you, you need to be circumcised. Only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, they didn't want any part of that. Because Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you pick up your cross and follow me. But they went, no, we've got a better way. You just get circumcised and you're in. Verse 13. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. So circumcision was a big deal for the men of that day. So we'll be able to say, you're keeping the law. And he said, but they don't even keep the law. Oh, they're circumcised, but they don't keep the law. But God forbid, verse 14, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. He said, whether you've been circumcised or you're uncircumcised, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't mean one thing to me. He said, but I just, what's important to me is that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the only way we can be a new creature in Christ Jesus is to believe in the salvation of the blood of Jesus. Go over to Hebrews 9 and we'll pick that up and then we'll quit reading and finish. But I want you to see Hebrews 9. Now this is all falls under the category of salvation, of course. We would have... Church, listen, we would have no salvation if there were no cross, if there were no blood. There just wouldn't be anything. All right, Hebrews 9:18. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without the blood. That's in the Old Testament, Law of Moses, Ten Commandments. Not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself, the book of the law, he sprinkled both the book itself and all the people with the blood of calves and goats. Verse 20, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then, likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Now look at this. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness of sins without the blood. So we'll get farther into that blood, not of bulls and goats. The writer of Hebrews said it's not blood of bulls and goats. It was by the blood of Jesus. All right. Now, there can't be any spectators here. If people just stand off and look at all this, how many times have you heard people say, oh, I just love to watch you dance and worship up there. I just love the way you're just so free to worship. And you want to say, what are you doing watching? You're a spectator. Oh, no, no. You get in here and worship with him. It's all about, it doesn't matter. He said, I don't care how you are. Just worship me. That is so important. So, no, we're not spectators. We're absolutely sold out with him. All right, number two. So, number one, we believe in salvation by the blood. Number two, we believe in divine healing. Now, I just want you to write this, and we won't go look at it, but Isaiah 53 and 5 says this. Now, you look these up, and you write, but just write these two words, and you'll be able to remember this. Isaiah 53 and 5. By his stripes, you are, right, A-R-E, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. You're going to be healed. You are healed. Okay? The cross hasn't happened yet. So Isaiah is prophesying by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of 3,000 years down the road. You are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, New Testament, by his stripes you, write this down, you were healed. Now we're looking back at the cross. Isaiah was looking forward to the cross, and they couldn't even comprehend this. But now we're in New Testament, we're looking back at the cross, and we're talking tonight about the cross of Jesus and his blood that was shed. And then Peter says, God told him, by my stripes you were, past tense, you were healed. I'll never forget, my mother used to have horrible migraine headaches. Oh my goodness, they were horrible. And so we would just pray and pray for her, and sometimes we had to take her to ER to get a shot, and she had to be in a dark room, and then the throwing up, it was just terrible. One of my pastors came, Pastor A.D. Salters, and he came to her one night, and his brother-in-law was with him, Jan Lake, and they came to my mother's darkened bedroom. Delaney and I went in there. We were still at home. They went in there to pray for her, and Brother Salters brought a word that I had never heard. And he tells her, Sister Delk, he said, I want to tell you tonight, you were already healed back at the cross. The healing was beaten out of the back of Jesus. There is a stripe that had migraine headaches in it for Miss Stella Delk. And he says, you were already healed. So tonight, we're just going to praise him. And you know what? She was healed that night and never had another migraine. It was just a beautiful thing that happened. So we believe we were healed. Practice that. Number three, we seek to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been, well, ask him to. Ask him to baptize you in the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:4-8. And then, of course, number four that sets us apart is we believe in Jesus' soon return. We believe in the rapture of the church, our soon coming King. Matthew 25:31, and there's many scriptures. Just study these out. You'll find them. He said, if you continue in my word, write this down, John 8:31-32. If you continue in my word, then you truly are my disciples. A good doctor just keeps on studying. A good pastor, a good evangelist, a good disciple will just keep on studying. You never get too familiar with John 3:16 or any of these words. Oh, pastor, I've heard that before. Oh, no, no. If you have, you need to go back and study. Okay, just keep on. That's not even good to say those kind of things because that's setting ourselves above. Oh, I already knew that. I already know this. You know that. But no, this is deep. Okay, this is deep stuff. This comes out of the word. He said, you continue, so you'll be my disciples. That's why we're continuing in this word tonight. Now listen, these four, I'll be forever thankful that I have these four, and I learned these, and I'm thankful I did. As Sister Gail said, there's many other things that we believe in, but these four Gospels, God gave it to a young woman about 25 years old. Her name is Amy Simple McPherson. She was the founder and the president of the Four Square Church. Four Square, thousands of Four Square churches around the world. And that was her, what God gave to her, the four doctrines of his church. Now this is, listen, when you believe in these four things I just gave you, this is the full gospel. How many has heard the word full gospel? This is the full gospel, because we believe in healing, miracles. We believe in the rapture of the church. We believe in salvation by the blood, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say this. I'm not hitting on anybody, knocking any church down, but the Nazarene and the Baptist and a lot of other churches, they believe these too. They believe in salvation by the cross. They believe in you need to be baptized, yeah, in the Holy Spirit. They believe Jesus is coming back, but they don't believe that you speak in tongues. They believe being filled with the Holy Spirit was for the disciples. They believe that divine healing was for the disciples. But we're all going to heaven together. Those are sweet people. I love them. They don't believe. We call it the full gospel, not saying we've got the market cornered on it. Lord knows there's a lot for us to learn. But at least we believe in those four things and the other things I gave you. And then the last page, we're not going to go over it. You go over it later. But look, it just says, I will. There's so many I wills in the word of the Lord that Jesus said, I will. But I just want you to look. It says, like Paul, I'll just forget those things that are behind and press forward. Like David, like Abraham, like Enoch. Just read that. Those are so good. And so every week, if you'll bring your folders back, we'll add another note to it. And so I hope you've enjoyed this tonight. And because I just want us to know what we believe and be disciples. You know what the word disciple means? A learner. Learner. We got to be in class. We got to be learning some things. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Our time is gone. But let's get alone somewhere, David. If you'll dim the lights and let me remind you, this Saturday, seniors, is our breakfast together at Jenny Lynn's at 9 o'clock. So be there with us on Saturday morning at 9, we'll have breakfast together.